Okay. Yeah, I would like to shift a little bit from the technical part to a little bit more the personal part. And we have heard already many things about Harry, and I want to add a few things. And since we also talked about teaching, and everybody sits so comfortably here, I want to get you out of this mode, especially Harry. So you will be, I will give you at least three questions today, and you have to answer. And if you don't answer, you can think about what I will get, okay? This is interaction, isn't it? So we should not only preach it, but we should also teach it, okay? So why did I call it Going East and Going West? As Margot already said, I'm this weird guy coming from Berlin, and I, almost 38 years ago, I came from Hamburg, and I want to tie my experience with Harry to the different events I had with him, and to be honest, it took some time to get to know to Harry, and I can't say that I got to know him during my time here at Harvard. It was only later, when you visited me in Berlin, that we really had a chance to open up and exchange certain things and learn about each other. Okay. So, for those of you who don't know where I am from, let me see. Oh boy, now I have to get the right button again. Berlin is not in the center of Germany, but it's actually towards the Polish border, okay? And that's where I have been over the last 23 years. I was actually born in Berlin, actually on the wrong side of the wall in East Berlin. My father was a PhD student in physics at the university where I am now teach, namely at Humboldt University, which is one of the three universities in Berlin. And it was actually in the east side. This is the main building. It is actually a palace of a Prussian princess, and the university was founded in 1810. The building didn't look like this about 30 years ago. Actually, I have to bring you back to reality by looking at this picture, namely the year that I joined Harvard in 1979. This was the picture in Berlin, namely the Brandenburg Gate separating West Berlin on the left from East Berlin to the right. And for me, I spent the first 8 years of my life in East Berlin until my parents had made the decision to jump the wall, actually 13 months after the wall came up. And that gave me the opportunity to come to Harvard. Otherwise, I would have stayed in East Germany and probably wouldn't have been able to go to university because my father was an educated person, and due to the communist system, I would have learned probably a blue-collar job, okay? So this was already the first chance I had. And so my father or my parents settled in Hamburg, and that was the starting point for coming to Harvard, and I really didn't know what I was getting into. Harvard was a name for me, an excellent university, but I had no idea. I was almost a failing student in Hamburg, so my father kicked my back and said, you have to do something different, and I applied for a scholarship. I got it, and I showed up at Harvard, and the first person I met was Harry, who told me, well, you have to take certain classes, and one of the classes was, of course, his own, namely A108. And I felt miserable because I was not very good in theory. But after this one semester, what I'd learned is that theory can really be fun. Learning about this pigeonhole principle and other nice things. And actually, we heard already today that was the time when his book was slowly getting into shape. So actually, after this one semester, I really felt theory can be fun. And it actually has turned out that theory has always been part of my career, even though I never got into theory per se, but I always say the best systems person is one who knows a lot about theory. And I think that's what I also tell my students, since I'm a teacher myself at Humboldt University, that's more what I usually also tell them. So you have been a very inspiring teacher. And you have to apologize, we are now in the digital age, but I couldn't find any picture of the time when we first met from 1979. Even on your webpage, nothing's there. You are only shown in this from probably 2001 and younger. Okay, so now comes the first question. I came as somebody from Germany, and nobody really knew, I didn't expect, and I, until today, I asked myself, why was I accepted at Harvard? And I never asked this question to Harry. I came with a scholarship, probably they felt he comes for 1 year, and if he's not good enough, he will disappear again, and if he's good enough, well, what happens then? So one person actually gave me an answer to that, and that was an almost finishing student, and I want to know who this guy is. Do you remember, Harry? I give you a hint. He was Tom Cheatham's student. He was actually also German, and he told me, you have to be very careful at Harvard because Germans usually have a very good reputation. The bar is much higher than for many other students. Erhard Plüderer. Very good, very good. So he is now a professor at Stuttgart, and he actually was an outgoing student just finishing his PhD, and he actually told me, be aware from German students, they always expect more than from any other students. So I didn't know what to make out of it, okay? So lucky Harry, okay. Okay. So then after I finished my master's time and as a good German student, rather than staying here, I had the offer from Philipp Bernstein. I said, as a good German student, first of all, let me go back to Germany and finish my study there. And 2 years later, Harry wrote a nice recommendation letter, and Philipp Bernstein did, and I came back because I wanted to get into database systems. And so I had two teaching fellowships during the 3 years I was here, one with Harry, AS11, that was an experience, with the head TA sitting also here, John Ramsdell. And then I was also able to be a teaching fellow together with Bill Gazarge in a course with Michael Rabin. I mean, that was also putting me now at the seat of being a teacher was something different than listening to theory. Okay. Now I tell you a story, Harry. Probably you are not aware of it, but with AS11, since John was the head TA, we, at the end of the semester, we had to prepare all these grade sheets, and you asked John to show up on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and he asked me to help him to finish the final sheets. And then, I think it was around midnight, we were done, and then we went dancing, and around 4 o'clock, we came back to Aiken, and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, it was around noon, the meeting had already taken place. You probably knew, and I was totally embarrassed, and I asked him, what happened? And he said, Harry didn't care. So I wasn't sure what to make out of it, but that was one of the few experiences that I had, but it was somehow telling something about you. You wanted to get things done, you were very easygoing. On the other hand, you also had your expectations, and that was good about it. This picture is famous. So, name all the people on this picture, please. Okay. We start from the left. Okay, next.
Who was the ringleader in organizing this?
We'll tell you later.
So that's Christoph.
Yes. Is he?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Okay, I didn't recognize you. Okay.
Is that John Thielens directly behind?
No.
That's Thielens is all the way in the back.
Thielens, you can just see my hair.
Yeah, this is all the way in the back. Right, very barely. So that's Phil Stern.
Yep.
That's Phil Stern.
Who's here,
right? And then the next person over to the right is Larry Lebowitz, who's here.
Yes.
John Ramsdell in the back. Beth Adelson is
You made it. Congratulations. You are now close to a certificate that you can teach another 10 years. Okay? So,
a pretty good group, and there's about another half dozen who didn't make it into the photo.
I know. Yes. I also don't want to hide the turbulent times I got into. I mean, we already heard about some of the lows. For me, the low was when Phil Bernstein left Harvard. That was in the spring of 83. Phil, for those who don't know, was in database systems. He got denied tenure. I was his student coming the year before, and I felt without a home. And so I had to decide what to do. And what did I do? I went to Harry. And I was probably like a rocket. I can't remember anymore. I was probably not very polite to you and ask all these questions, why did this happen and so on. And Harry was very calm and said, we'll get it done, we'll make it happen. And indeed, he succeeded in getting me through these last 2.5 years with still providing the financial support, still having an environment where I could grow and where I could do my thesis. And so I'm very thankful for him that he didn't let me down, but really got me through this very difficult time. I don't know how you experienced that time. It probably was not always very comfortable for you. So we made it. The only thing I remember is I think it was the dean. I had a bet with him that until the following fall, they wouldn't have a substitute for Phil, and they didn't have. So what I got out of this was a very nice dinner at one of the best fish restaurants in Boston. Okay. The other problem was I wasn't as fast as I wanted to be with getting my thesis done. So by the spring, I hadn't written one page. So it was time to speed up. And I think at the beginning of June, I ran out of money. And again, what should I do? And I went to Harry and said, well, Harry, I need at least another 3 or 4 months of financial support. And Harry, without stopping, said, we'll make it happen, and it happened. So by the fall of 85, I had a written thesis, and I could defend it. The defense was also a big experience for me, because all the faculty members showed up, and I felt very, very tiny, because everybody seemed to know what I was about to say about my thesis, which I worked hard on for 3 years. But fortunately, I succeeded to finish. And then I got my dream job, because this being here opened many, many doors, and I was never aware of it. So I went to IBM Almaden Research Center, to the Mecca for database systems, reading before all the names on the papers and now being part of it. That was really my dream job. Unfortunately, I only spent there 2 years. My wife wanted to go back to Germany. I followed her advice. We went back. We lived for 9 years in Munich. I had 2 different jobs in industrial research, one again with digital equipment, a company that doesn't exist anymore. I got this job through Phil Bernstein, who at that time was already had joined Microsoft, starting a small research lab. But then digital went down the drain, and it was also a very painful experience for me. I had a small group of five people working with me or for me. I had to let them go, and I had to find a job. And you have to remember, and that is my next question, the wall came down. When did the wall actually came down? Sorry, European history. Should I open up? 1989. What did you say? Okay, 1989. Do you know the exact date? Pardon? November 9th, yeah. If you are very good in German history, November 8th, November 9th is a very historical day on various years. There are at least 3 different events that happened over the last 130 years. Not very good ones in German history, but all happened on November 8th, November 9th. So this one is the happiest one. And while I watched the wall go up, because we lived about 200 meters away from the border between East and West Berlin, this time I could only watch it on TV. As I said, in 1994, we moved from Munich to Berlin. And for me, it was also a very interesting experience seeing two different countries melting together, speaking the same language, but having different social backgrounds. So that was a very interesting experience because many of my workers at the universities came from East Germany, and I felt pretty good, well equipped to do this, okay? So coming back to you, you are an incredible supporter. I always valued that you were able to get me through these difficult times and getting me to my PhD, which opened many, many doors. I also want to remind you of that book, because that book really helped me not only to learn a lot about theory, but I still recommend this book to my students because it's, I think, not only content-wise, but also as it is presented, very precise, very modular, and so I really feel that you should, I think there's out a second version of the book, but you should make sure that it is not forgotten. Yeah. So I still give it to students, and I have to make sure that they get it back to me because you can't buy it anymore. The third time was in 2008. I was on sabbatical, and so I thought maybe I should come back to Harvard. There was already a new database professor, so where should I stay? Harry had this great idea. He had this friend at Elliott House, the master, you remember, and he got me the Matheson room. I don't know if you know this room. It is a historic room. It's actually a library with 1,500 plus books around you, and had my little desk, my little bed in there. It was an incredible environment. I lived together with these undergraduates. I got to know to them. I got to know to the master. I felt like in a large family, and it was only due to Harry that I was able to get this assignment, and I really enjoyed the time here, besides also having a good time on the academic side. So, creative host, okay? So that was me going always from east to west and further west to California and going back east to Munich and then to Berlin. So then, I also don't want to forget, during that time, I also got to know to your two books, and I know that there are some more, but they really also showed me that you think about other aspects as well, very deeply, and Excellence Without Soul gave me a different view of Harvard with all of its pros and cons, and I started to read it a second time right now. And the other one I also found very inspiring because you explain computer science to an average Joe and not to the specialists that we are all around in this room, okay? So I think it's also very important that we as computer scientists try to give an understanding of our field to other people as well. Yeah, and then it was time for Harry to go east, yes. Namely, he visited Berlin in May 2013, and my next question is, what was the actual reason why you came to Europe? Yes, actually in Amsterdam, if I remember correctly, or was it in Düsseldorf?
It was in Düsseldorf.
In Düsseldorf, okay. So he made the side trip and I couldn't resist to convince him. So he gave also a talk on flipping the classroom, which was well attended. We actually also had him, he gave a talk at the Harvard Club in Berlin, which was also well received. And as you can see, there are not only two, but three people on this, and this was a longtime friend. Who was
my classmate at Rockford.
Okay, so he came from southern Germany, so we had a good time, and Harry probably needed one pair of walking shoes because we all walked around for many, many hours in Berlin, and I'm trying to show him both sides, east and west Berlin. It has been rebuilt, so there are many places from museums which we didn't go into. Going down Unter den Linden, passing at many places. Do you remember what this building is?
No.
You actually nicely describe it in your blog, and if you want to know more about it, it is called the Kommode. It is the Humboldt Law School, more or less, and the interesting part is in front of this building, again, part of bad German history that was the plaza where all the books of Jewish authors were burned under the Nazis. And if you go there, there is a very nice memorial on that unfortunately bad event. Do you remember what this memorial looked like? It is an empty library, which you can look from the top down into the basement in the middle of this plaza. And I think it's a very appropriate way to remember this event. So during that time, we had many, many hours of talking, sitting around, enjoying the sun, as you can see, and I really got to know you, to you as a warm-hearted friend with many, many aspects that I probably missed while I was at Harvard, because I was this graduate student and you was this wise and professor, and I only later realized the age difference is not that big between us, okay? So I missed out on something over these years, but anyway, at that time, I realized that this was not a boundary. So what's left to say? Well, my logic is very limited, so I'm only using Boolean expressions. He's an aspiring teacher, an incredible supporter, a creative host, a warm-hearted friend, and that makes a wonderful person. Thank you very much.